T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Apparently still a thing. Someone from the text line went to Gulf Shores for vacation last week, and my wife wouldn't get off the Pokemon Go.
Hey, let me know how Gulf Shores was. That's a place we've considered doing vacation. And I want to know, how is it down there?
Pokemon Go is apparently really good there.
I guess. So have you been down to Gulf Shores?
I have not.
Ryan, have you Gulf Shores before?
That's in, no.
No, but a lot of people go down there.
I'm like Alabama or something?
Yeah, it looks awesome down there. So let me know how it was, man. We're thinking about doing that one year for vacation.
Been to plenty of places in the Gulf. Never Gulf Shore.
We give stuff away each and every day at 7 and 8 and 9 o'clock just for listening. This hour's prize.
Oh, I didn't put it on the paper, did I?
This hour's prize is something.
Sorry, I didn't catch that.
I'll just do the one at 9 o'clock. Yeah. We'll give that one away.
We'll give that one away.
And I'll get it done
we'll
in
take
an
care
hour.
Of that. Okay, all right.
Getting a lot of texts. People want to hear that again.
This hour's prize. Tickets September 7th to Atlantic City. You're going to get a chance to see Bagel Boss take off.
Well, we should give away tickets for that.
We don't have
Do we have Bagel Boss tickets to give away?
We don't have those yet.
Do we have Rivalry Renewed tickets to give away?
No, we don't, actually.
A pair of tickets to the International Champions Cup. FC Bayern against AC Milan at Children's Mercy Park. You can get your tickets now at Ticketmaster.com or get a pair of tickets just for listening. And Ryan makes it very, very simple.
I do like to keep it pretty simple on you this time of the morning. All you have to do is listen. You're already doing that. Listen to this or listen for this, I suppose. What? Next time you hear that.
Is that Chris Jones?
That is Christopher Jones,
Was
yes.
that his reaction to the Chiefs offer?
I think it was. Next time you hear Chris Jones, be caller number
92. No. Let's go with caller number 8 today. 8.
Caller number 8. The next time you hear Chris Jones giggle to 913-576-7610, and I'll hook you up with a pair of tickets to the International Champions Cup.
All right. I like it. A lot of Gulf Shore stuff coming in. One guy says, don't go in the summer. You'll melt. When am I supposed to go?
Dead of winter, I bet, is probably.
Well, yeah, I'm sure it's a great spot when you don't have time to vacation.
Yeah. Oh, it's perfect in October. Like, that's the one thing with our parents both being retired now, Josh. Like, well, we're going on vacation. Or when are you going? Well, September and October. It's great. I'm like, okay. Never did that when we were kids.
You couldn't.
No.
Now you know why.
Now I know why. Like, that's the great thing about retirement.
Your vacation windows, end of May through beginning of August.
Right.
It's very short.
You kind of look out the window and you go, what are you doing today? I don't know. Let's go somewhere. I ran into this couple from New Jersey in one of the national parks. I think it was Canyonlands or Arches National Park. I think it was Arches National Park out in Utah. And they just got an RV on June 7th in New Jersey and started driving. And I said, well, when are you going back? They go, we don't know. That's it.
That's a great spot to be in.
That's the spot to be in. You don't know when you're... No, we have no plans. See, he goes, I've never been to the Pacific Ocean. I want to put my feet in the Pacific, drive up the Pacific Coast Highway.
Sounds good.
Know somebody who lives in Nebraska, maybe.
That's how you're supposed to retire.
That is, right? Just get the RV and go. My parents can't seem to figure that out.
I just thought this would be good space music for...
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we do have to have the moon landing.
One giant leap.
Buzz Aldrin into a fist fight with somebody.
Buzz Aldrin punched a dude in the face.
Again? Yeah. He did it again?
You don't mess with Buzz Aldrin. He's one of a kind.
Well, the video is surfacing now because of the moon landing. Some guy walks up to him with a Bible and says, in front of a hotel, put your hand on the Bible and swear that you walked on the moon. Buzz Aldrin wouldn't do it. And the guy kept doing it and badgering him. Buzz Aldrin cold cocked the guy. I mean, Buzz Aldrin.
The hotel or the doorman or whatever it is tried to step in and calm things as well.
Yeah.
And to no avail. This guy just keeps going. Buzz Aldrin walks away from him a couple times. He's like, fine, I'm just going to knock this guy out.
Right.
And the video is awesome because it's labeled Buzz Aldrin punches moon landing denier nutcase in the face.
Yeah.
That's the name of the video.
I mean, Buzz Aldrin drops this dude. So maybe the Bagel Boss ought to fight Buzz Aldrin. I think that'd be a good matchup. Is Buzz still with us? I'm imagining he is, right? Get him on the show?
You're on the radio right now, live.
The guy just keeps going after him. Buzz is like, I'm throwing down with you, dude.
So it is the...
One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
Of course, the Buzz Aldrin audio of when he first stepped on the moon.
If you're counting on us for history, you've always come to the wrong place. I think we've established that over time. 50th anniversary, though, of the moon landing.
God, Ryan, that was great comedic timing by you.
That was really good.
But we will take one giant leap all week long involving our locals. Today, we take one giant leap for the Chiefs.
Mm-hmm. Picking something other than Mahomes.
But Bob, why don't you start? What one giant leap will you take with the Chiefs?
Well, I'm going to take a giant leap and say the defense finishes in the top half this year in defenses in the NFL. I'm not going to go out on a limb here and say they're going to be a top defense in the NFL. But from where they were last year, with all the changes that they made, I'm going to take a giant leap and say they're a top half defense.
How long do you think it's... Because you've been warning everybody about Spagnuolo defenses and taking a little more time. How long before we see them being on the path to being that?
I think
right away.
No, this looks like
a defense that's like that looks vastly improved from a season ago. Or do you think we'll have some? I'll say concerns, because even if there is the preaching of the patience, mm-hmm. we're gonna want to see it right away.
Well, of course, and I'm gonna have to guard myself against that too. Like not freaking out in week one. I'm gonna have to guard myself around that, but. Look, again, I know how it worked in New York. I know exactly what Spagnuolo did. He took over. The first 2 weeks were absolute disasters. They gave up 80 points, the Giants did. And they went on and won the Super Bowl and shut down Tom Brady in the Super Bowl when he put up offensive numbers and that team was 18-0. They beat him that year with this Steve Spagnuolo defense. That took the first couple of weeks of the season to get through growing pains. And Michael Strahan talks about it. And we played it. It was week 3 against the Redskins. They made a big defensive stand on fourth down. And that's when everybody bought in. Maybe if they get a big-time play early, everybody will buy in. But I think it's going to take a couple of weeks for us to feel really confident about this defense. And we can't have the freakout going on in week one if they give up 30 points in the first game of the season.
That's one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
And I'm guessing, Bob.
Yes, sir.
I'm guessing here. That defense didn't have as much turnover as this one does.
No, that defense.
New personnel.
And that defense had Hall of Famers, though, too, on it. I mean, yeah. With Michael Strahan, you know?
But the personnel, I think that's the part that gives me the pause, maybe more so than the defensive scheme, is that you've done a lot. And you're putting in a lot of new faces.
Yeah.
A lot of new bodies.
So everybody's new together. So maybe there won't be a big buy-in because everybody's here new together and they're all learning together. Who knows?
I think the buy-in will be there, but the trust and the knowledge of playing with one another and what he's asking you to do in this defense, to me, might take a little bit.
Let me ask you this, though, and I never understood this. Why do coaches try to make things complicated, though?
Everybody
always says, well, it's a complicated offense. Why don't we make these things easy so people understand what they're doing?
That's usually like year two, I think.
Like our football coach used to dummy the stuff down for us.
The first go round, they give you way too much stuff, and then they're like, you know what? We're gonna simplify some things. That's usually what happens after you fail the first go round when there's too much.
Yeah, I don't know. I just think like every time we hear about a new coach or coordinator, well, it's very complicated. I don't know if that's cliche or if that's real, but you hear it a lot. And if I'm a coach, I'm going, well, let's not make things complicated.
Let's start off first. What can you do?
Yeah,
and how can we draw it up to make it nice and simple?
You hear, well, everything's so complex these days. How about just pin your ears back and go and tackle the guy with the ball? I mean, is that too easy?
I'm envisioning you walking in as your coach, you know, Coach Fesco walks in,
right.
Some meetings, and they're going through all the minutiae, and you're like, just pin your ears back and go to the ball, guys. All right, see you later.
I'm going to go have a donut.
I got a press conference here to get
to. Actually, I'd probably have one of those cronuts, one of those croissant donuts. You get the best of both worlds.
I did not think that's what a cronut was.
My one giant leap will that the Chiefs will defy the pundits and maybe the odds, and I think they'll capture the number one seed again. I think there are plenty of cases to be made that
They have a really tough schedule. They're facing a whole bunch of good quarterbacks. We've been told how great the Chargers are going to be. And the Chargers were right on their heels, of course, last year. Very close to not winning the division, right?
Right.
And the Chargers could very well overtake and win the division.
6-10.
Patriots will be running rough shot through their division once again. But I'm going to say the Chiefs are going to overcome those things. They are going to be better this season, and they will capture the number one seed again. We could talk about home field advantage in the postseason.
Mm-hmm.
That too leapy? I think the odds would say yeah. I think the odds would say they can't do that again. But I say they will. I think the defense
is... One small step for man, one giant leap for mankind.
I think your top half defense is going to help out in this regard. And the Chiefs, the schedule on paper now looks pretty daunting. That's usually what schedules on paper are. They turn out to be different when you get into the season. I think the Chiefs are going to navigate it, be the number one seed.
I'm good with that.
I'm not going to get a lot of favorable response from this. My giant leap, I think the Chiefs lose the AFC West to the San Diego Chargers in Week 17.
Egg on your face. There's no such thing as the San Diego Chargers.
The Los Angeles Chargers in Week 17. You've got, what, a Week 11, Week 12 matchup? That's when they go to Mexico?
Two games late.
So, yeah, you don't have to face this team until very late in the year. Look, I know Andy Reid has dominated the AFC West. I know you've won, what, 9 of the last 10 games against the Chargers. I just think that overall, as a team, they are a more complete team. And at that time of the year, if health is still on their side, which it never seems to be, the Chargers will unseat the Chiefs in Week 17.
Uh-oh. Chargers lover Ryan over here.
That's Ryan Witkowski. At Ryan Witkowski on Twitter. Send him all your tweets saying he is wrong.
I mean, I'm fine.
I mean, don't call him a name.
I want to be wrong.
Why would you go out on a limb and say that, man?
I don't think it's that far of a stretch.
Oh, I do. 6-10.
You think the L.A. Chargers are 6-10? What teams are going to win this year,
Everybody's
Bob?
Everybody's 6-10.
Everybody's 6-10.
Yep.
And the Patriots.
Everybody's... And they're just going to win all of them.
All of the games.
And more, actually, and probably, more. To get all those other teams 6-10.
You know, at some point, other teams have to win.
No, they don't.
And, like, you can't have two losers every week.
No, they don't.
We'll see. Who do we have now? We have the Browns. We have the Chargers. What
Colts.
Other? Oh, the Colts.
Colts.
The Colts are 6-10.
The Colts will be 6-10 today, too.
Yep.
That might be a fun exercise for you, Bob. You've got a few minutes.
What's
go,
that?
Go through
and
the
carve
entire.
Carve out who's 6-10.
Go through the entire thing. See how many 6-10.
No wins for you.
How many 6-10 teams?
Go away for 1 year.
See if the math adds up.
I don't think it does.
Adam and KCK.
Every playoff team is 6-10 this year in Bob's book.
I don't think they're a playoff team if they're 6-10 this year.
Adam's going to the International Champions Cup. That was our 8 o'clock hour prize just for listening.
We may know who's going to play the Super Bowl when the Chiefs are there in February. The Entertainment Act is already kind of getting leaked out.
It has been leaked out.
There's a leak.
Okay, we'll discuss that next.
Fesco in the morning.
Rivalry Renewed, the second annual edition coming up. Silverstein Ice Center's Arena on July 28th. Tickets on sale now. You can get all the details at 610sports.com. Link to a general admission and VIP ticket packages. The VIP player party, pretty cool, Saturday night, July 27th at Repeal 18th from 6 to 10 p.m. The VIP ticket packages include your choice of game tickets, appetizers, drink tickets, Rivalry Renewed t-shirt, player meet and greets, and roundtable discussions, plus a chance to take part in the pregame shoot-around with players. Pretty cool. The MU alums, led by Kareem Rush, Ricky Paulding, Arthur Johnson, and more. The KU alums, led by Brandon Rush, who had, what, 46 last year? Is that what it was?
Yeah, that's it. He'll go for 50 this year.
Mario Chalmers and Drew Gooden, among others.
No way Mizzou hangs with these guys. Tickets, over at halftime.
6-10. On sale now at 610sports.com. Kareem's going to be mad at you about that.
Unbelievable. people.
Brandon is playing well, though. If you've seen him play in the big
three.
Is
he playing good?
Yeah,
in that?
Yeah. Yeah, he's shooting the ball.
All right, good. Well, he's going to school his brother again.
I think Brandon's going to light it up again.
I think Kareem's been training for a year for this thing, though. He's ready to go. Yeah. Brandon's like, I'll just go out there and whip you.
Second annual rivalry renewed at Silverstone Ice Center's Arena on July the 28th. Again, all the ticket details, you can find them at 610sports.com.
From the text line 816, it says that Philip Rivers is the most overrated quarterback in the NFL. I don't disagree with that, but maybe we could say like under-accomplished quarterback in the NFL. Like for a guy that had that much hype and has had that much kind of love, and he's got nothing to show for it.
That's the hard part, yeah, because I think he's a really good quarterback.
Right, but he legit has nothing to show for it.
Like you'd want that guy on your team,
right?
You'd want him as your quarterback more often than not. But yeah, he's never won anything.
Never won a damn thing. Yeah. He's got nothing to show for it.
It's true.
Patrick Mahomes in one season has as many Super Bowls as Philip Rivers does.
Well, and a division title and an MVP.
Yeah, right. I mean, Philip Rivers is good, but show me the hardware.
All right, there's been a leak. Is that true?
6-10.
6-10. There's been a leak, huh?
Yes,
they're leaking the Super Bowl halftime show already?
Yeah, it looks like it. You know, it's going to be down in Miami when the Chiefs take on the Chicago Bears Super Bowl. No, I wish Miami Sound Machine would be fantastic.
Bruno Mars again.
No, it's not going to be Prince either. No Purple Rain or anything like that. Jennifer Lopez has announced she is interested in playing next year's Super Bowl halftime show in Miami.
So she's just interested. The NFL's not interested in her.
That's what it takes, though,
but that's
anymore,
what it takes,
right?
Yeah.
Because
all these people aren't interested in doing it. Now Jennifer Lopez is saying, hey, I'm interested in doing it. I'd like to perform at the Chiefs Super Bowl this year. E.T. spoke with the 49-year-old singer backstage after her It's My Party concert at Madison Square Garden on Monday. Her rescheduled show after a citywide blackout forced cancellation on Saturday, where she talked about the possibility of playing the Super Bowl. The location is ideal given Lopez's close ties to Miami. She and her fiance, I don't know if you knew this, she's engaged to A-Rod, Alex Rodriguez of TV fame. He grew up in Miami. They have a residence there, and they spend plenty of time in the city. In fact, her It's My Party tour
They
ends.
Wouldn't even have to put her up. They
that's
wouldn't
right.
They need to get her in a park or a hotel room.
She's right there.
They'll
right
save
there.
A hotel room at the Super Bowl, which is that's premium.
Right, so, it really is. So they can send that to somebody else.
That's a huge... huge opportunity.
Right. Her It's My Party tour ends with three consecutive dates at the American Airlines Arena in Miami, July 25th to July 27th. And
already she
says,
be there.
She says, quote, yeah, we've thought about the Super Bowl and it's in Miami. It's a big deal. We'll see, Lopez tells ET. They make their own decisions over there. A-Rod said, you don't know how great you are. You really have no idea.
Jenny from the Block.
J-Lo halftime Super Bowl.
So would you be good with J-Lo performing halftime of the Chiefs Super Bowl this year?
Sure.
I think so.
Whatever.
Yeah.
It's better than rolling out some classic rock band that hasn't been together in 15 years.
Name one that hasn't.
That's fair.
We'll play touring or not.
Jethro Tull performing the Super Bowl halftime show.
Quite possibly. Quite possibly. Let's
Creedence
play a little
Clearwater Revival.
Why
we
not?
We can revive them.
Touring or not touring tomorrow. In or out right now.
In or out?
Just when I thought I was out, they pulled me back in.
In or out?
At least you're pumping them out, baby. I like it.
Try to cram it all in.
Nope.
In or out?
I'm very excited about the Netflix lineup this week, boys.
Okay. Bob's one of you.
Bob's canceled his Netflix. 6-10,
no,
he said, for Netflix. He's got nothing that he wants to see there.
There
Netflix
really
is 6-10.
6-10. I get it free with my cellular service, so I got it. You know, it's there. I'd rather have Hulu.
You get free Netflix?
Yeah, with T-Mobile. They give you free Netflix and free MLB.TV.
I get free Apple Music with Verizon.
I get free HBO with AT&T.
There you go. Everybody's giving something away.
And you get free crappy service with Sprint. That's comes included with every package.
Below not good, Ryan.
It's Friday on Netflix. Queer Eye Season 4 is making its triumphant debut, I guess, or return. Queer Eye is making its return.
Yes.
It'll take place right here in Kansas City again.
Yep.
And our guy John Stoner is going to be part of it.
Talked to him about it yesterday. As soon as he's given the all go, he'll be on our show talking about Queer Eye.
Wow.
So I'm excited about
that.
Have
you noticed he's dressed better at
all?
His
beard is not as shaggy as it used to be.
That is not true. Actually, when was the last
time? When was the last time you saw Stoner? I mean, I saw him yesterday, so I bet you I've seen him in more recent vintage than you.
If it stuck.
If what stuck his beer gut?
The makeover.
Oh, well, he looks the same to me.
Oh, that's what I'm wondering. He just went back to his old ways.
Well, we'll have to see. You'll either have to way, watch I'm in. And find out.
I'm yeah. in on this.
Because it's got Kansas City ties, so I'm definitely in.
Also for you this Friday on Netflix, Last Chance U makes its comeback. It'll be in Independence again. Not Independence, Missouri. Independence, Kansas.
Right.
Indy Part 2 is what they're calling it.
Is that guy on right. there again, that jerk
yeah.
coach?
Jason yeah. Brown, yeah. yeah.
He's not there. He's not there coaching anymore.
He was fired, is, right?
Yeah, you'll get to see all of that.
Part of Last Chance U. He's one of the greatest coaches ever, though. Has he got another gig yet?
Yeah, where's he coaching now? Who's hired that guy?
I don't know.
But yes, I'm in. Last Chance U is a really good show.
Definitely going to yep. binge that one yep. on Friday. And lastly for you, this also on Friday. A lot of good stuff on Friday for you. Not a lot going on during the week.
6 and 10.
This Friday on History Channel at 9 o'clock. Set your DVRs for this. The Unexplained with William Shatner. He'll
Hit
host
DVR
it.
DVR Netflix.
This is on History Channel, Bob.
6 and 10.
Six and ten for you today.
History Channel.
That's no good. The Unexplained with William Shatner. He'll delve into unexplained phenomenon throughout history. He hosts. He also executive produces it. So, shockingly,
he hosts.
He got the job as the yeah. host.
Sounds like a show I would do. I'll explain everything to people. You give me the topic, I'll explain it to you.
Maybe, but that's Fridays at 9.
Yeah, I'm not chances, in on any William Shatner.
Chances of catching that one live, slim to none.
I got the colonoscopy Friday, so man, I'm not going to be seeing that. I'll be laid up all weekend.
You'll be all 6 and 10 out there. For everyone to see. Gross.
I think you'll recover by then. It's a pretty small camera.
Tammy from the Westin told me last night when I saw her over at Jasper's, which she now, like, she's showing up at Jasper's knowing I had a meeting there last night. And she just happened to
she's
be there for dinner.
She's stalking you is what it is.
She goes, oh, it's great sleep. You'll be fine. Like, women are like, it's easy. It's great. Every guy's like, ugh.
Well, it's because we have an aversion to putting things in our butt.
We're very, very, very wimpy when it comes to anything medically related.
I think especially when it comes to the anus.
That's today's edition.
They're doing a watch party for Stoner
Wait,
at Cap
you're stepping
Cave.
On the punchline. That's today's edition of In or Out. Don't step on the punchline, Vesco.
If you want to watch Queer Eye on Friday, go to Tap K. They're doing a watch party with Stoner. I'm having my colonoscopy.
Why isn't he doing it at the Colonial Club?
Not big enough, I guess. I don't
yeah,
know.
He's expecting many yeah. people.
Many people.
A lot of people going to pack the house for
this. Yeah. Our,
Dan Joy's putting it on. He knows how to throw a party. Oh,
the big does. Story's coming up. Someone weighs in on the moon landing. Oh, yeah. Can't wait for this. Maybe in need of an update and still unemployed. That's all coming up next.
Vesco in the morning.
What if we get to between now and 9 o'clock? Brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. We were talking about Last Chance U in our last segment. It's coming yeah. up, released this week. We asked about Jason Brown. I guess I was not aware of this story.
I wasn't either.
This comes from Joplin television station.
They have TV in Joplin?
KOAM.
Oh, that's right. That's where Toby Cook worked.
10 criminal charges were filed against former Independence Community College head coach Jason Brown.
What? How many?
Was this
10.
In the news?
6 and 10.
Somewhere between 6 and 10, he had charges filed against him.
Wow.
They stem from an investigation in emails he sent to Montgomery County newspapers. The Montgomery County Chronicle says they started receiving emails in October of 2018. They were cease and desist emails. The Chronicle alleges they were from someone claiming to be from the Cochran Law Firm in California that represented Brown.
The Johnny from Cochran Compton. Law Firm? He's from Compton, that's California. Johnny's law firm, right? Johnny no longer with us. But
the Chronicle received more emails in February. This was after the news broke of Brown sending text messages to, remember, that German student and player
yeah,
that Brown said was, quote, his new Hitler. According to the Chronicle, similar emails were sent to the Independence Daily Reporter and an assistant coach at the college. Chronicle turned the emails over to the Montgomery County Sheriff's Office, who started an investigation. The Sheriff's Office alleges Brown stole the identity of a real attorney and that the emails originated from his devices. Brown's now facing 4 counts of identity theft, 4 counts of blackmail, both of which are felonies, faces 2 counts of criminal false communication.
I'm surprised this guy hasn't gotten hired by anybody.
So he sent emails claiming to be a lawyer.
What a clown.
Stop picking on Jason Brown.
What a disaster.
According to the reports.
Who thought that this guy would be good for young people?
On file.
Who thought like that would be the guy you want coaching young people and making an impression on young people?
So, Jason Brown, not only not coaching, he'll have some court appearances ahead.
Good luck to you, sir.
So, there's your Jason Brown update. I guess I was not aware that had happened.
I was not either. I've got a friend that lives in Coffeyville. I just texted him, like, where was this information?
Brandon Jacobs?
No. Jason Zimmerman. We call him Zim. Or Dummy Pants. He claims he got into a fight at the Dalton House one time.
Dummy Pants.
Yeah, Dummy Pants we call them.
Okay.
Everyone, I'm sorry for the delay, but the big moment has finally come.
It's the big story.
This may be the biggest thing that's ever happened.
If it's what you're talking about, it's what we're talking about.
My God, are you still talking?
Brought to you by Spring Venture Group on Fesco in the Morning.
Big story, Royals really good last night.
Yeah, baby.
11-0 win over the White Sox.
You guys scoffed at my second half, first half, you know, seasons.
Yeah. I've always liked it.
Okay.
I've always liked it. Give teams like us a chance.
Yeah. The Royals are 4-1 the second half.
4-1 since the All-Star break. Let's play halves. I'm totally on board now. Once your team gets off to a fast start in the second half, you're like, where was this in the first half? Let's give us something to play for. So they're 4-1 after the break. 11-0 win last night. Glenn Sparkman, a complete game 5 hitter. Struck out 816 pitches as Sparky pitched a good game.
Mm-hmm.
Whit Merrifield hit an inside the park 2-run home run.
Boy, did he ever.
They had to, you know, clean it up on review, initially called out at the plate.
The 1-0 pitch, and Merrifield goes to right field, and into the corner it goes, and it's a fair ball. Gallagher will score. Merrifield around second, going for third. They may send him home. They are. The throw to the plate. He is. Ned Yost is going to challenge it. And the umpire says he is safe. And it's an inside-the-park home run for Whit Merrifield.
Last night here on 610 Sports Radio, a couple edits there, I believe.
The Lions anticlimactic at the end.
And he is,
after further review, safe!
But Whit Merrifield slides home head first, gets his arm around the leg of the catcher, touches the plate before the catcher places the tag. They clean it up on review. He's indeed safe. Turns out, the fastest trip around the bases, well, probably for any home run,
but
park home run for sure, right? I doubt anybody was running faster on a regular home run on the park. Fastest inside the park home run registered this year, according to StatCast.
That's outstanding. I mean, Whit Merrifield is one of those guys who people continue to say, I think the Royals should trade him, and I continue to say, why? You're not going to make your team better by trading Whit Merrifield. You may get some guys back in return, but nobody is going to deliver the production, and no one's going to deliver the leadership, and no one's going to deliver the face of the franchise, and no one's going to deliver the value that Whit Merrifield is giving you right now. Trading Whit Merrifield right now just makes no sense to me, and I think he's more valuable to the Royals than he is to be traded to have even 3 major league ready guys come back in return, because there's no guarantees you get anything out of those guys like you're getting out of Whit Merrifield right now. Go back and look at the trades that take place around the trade deadline. Go back and just look at the Royals, the trades they made last year and this year at this point of the season. How many of those guys that they got in return are contributing to the big league club? And then go back and look at the Zobrist trade. Go back and look at the Johnny Cueto trade. How many of the guys that the Royals dealt away in those trades are producing for those teams at the big league level? The answer is zero. I mean, if Manaea doesn't throw a no-hitter, nobody's saying anything about that guy. So to me, in my opinion, you've got the best you can possibly do with Whit Merrifield, and that's by keeping Whit Merrifield right now.
That the good, the bad, Alberto Mondesi had to leave the game, diving for a ball in foul territory. And if you saw the play, I don't know what body part he hurt when it initially went down.
Right. All of them.
He hit a lot of them. Face, arms were extended.
Not good.
You know, you never know. Arms bent in, arms extended, whatever.
Right.
You get something caught up. Hit his face, looked like really hard on the on the dirt as well.
But I thought he hurt his face more than anything
else.
That's
what I thought. Right? But then they were holding his shoulder coming off the field, his left shoulder, and you're like, okay, they're holding that as if there was something wrong. He told teammates, Hunter Dozier told Flanny that he believed he had separated his shoulder.
Yeah.
So there's an MRI today for Mondesi. He had to leave the game.
Can't you pop it back in?
Yeah, just I've seen that one. What was the
Mel Gibson?
Mel Gibson
and
always
weapon.
Would pop it in and
just
leave
slammed
weapon.
It against the wall.
Yeah, just find a cubicle or something. Do that, and you're good
just
as gold.
Get Mel Gibson on this.
I don't think he,
Royals head trainer Mel Gibson. I'll have to check him out.
Mel Gibson on just about anything these days. Good news is, and if there is a silver lining to this, obviously you want Alberto Mondesi back quickly. Nicky Lopez was playing shortstop before he was called to the majors.
Right.
Moved to second base because Mondesi's there.
Mondesi's there.
So last night they slide Lopez over, and guess who? Whit Merrifield runs in.
There you go.
Exchanges his outfield glove for his infield glove, and he's back at second base.
Correct.
Still a pretty good combo there, but obviously you want Mondesi back in the mix, and hopefully it's not a long-term thing, but he's going to have an MRI on his left shoulder. So that's your big story. Brought to you by Spring Venture Group, a company who is reimagining the relationship between sales, data, and technology. Find out more at springventuregroup.com. But that's not all that happened with the Royals yesterday,
it
Fesco.
It isn't, but wait, there's more?
But wait, there's more.
Huh.
We've been talking about this week.
We had a great pitching performance. We had Whit Merrifield. They won 11-0.
Nope. We can get Ned on the moon landing. Who doesn't? That's right.
Ned talking moon?
Yes.
Did HUD talk moon landing?
I'm sure HUD is bound to talk moon at some point. It's a beautiful planet.
It really is.
This is the 50th anniversary of the
moon.
The moon landing. And so Ned, of course, talking with Cody about the moon.
What a 1202 program alarm is?
No.
Okay, well then you don't know anything about the space landing.
Today's the anniversary of the thing taking off.
Yes, but he's going to be on the road for when it actually landed. Yes. So
I'll ask you.
I know just about everything that there is to know about it. I've studied it. I love it. I watched it. If I could go tomorrow, I'd go. A 1202 program alarm, Cody, was when they came apart, the LEM and the command module, and they started their burn to land on the moon. Well, Buzz Aldrin, who was the LEM pilot, thought it was very beneficial to keep the rendezvous radar on and the landing radar on. But at that time, the computers in Apollo 11, you have more computing power probably by 20 in your cell phone. And it overloaded the computer, and it gave a 1202 program alarm.
Nerd. Right?
And everybody panicked. What is it? What's a 1202? Is it going to be a fatal alarm? Are they going to have to abort? And somebody in the back room all of a sudden remembered what a 1202 was, and they said, we'll go on that as long as it doesn't continue to pop up. And they hit, you know, the button to take it off. They had one more 1202 alarm and a 1201 alarm, which was all the same before they finally landed. But it was all revolving around the radar landing and the rendezvous landing. Now, what else do you want to know about it?
Just about your experience watching it.
What do you mean watching it? I loved it. I remember sitting upstairs in my mom's bedroom and watching those grainy, snowy pictures. I've been very interested in space exploration for as long as I can remember.
So you'd go to...
I just think it was great. I think my favorite moon landing was when they landed in the Apennine mountain range there by Hadley Rill. I think that was fantastic. They found a piece, what they think was the original moon crust there. They had to land in between mountains that were 20,000 feet. They came down in between the mountains and landed right on the Hadley Rill, which is almost comparable to our Grand Canyon.
He could have been making all of that up.
Yeah, I'd be like, oh, yeah, sure.
It's a simple question, doctor. Would you eat the moon if it were made of ribs?
Note to self, don't tell him I'm not sure it happened.
Yeah.
Note to self.
I mean, look.
Ned Yost will knuckle up.
Yeah, don't broach the subject.
What do you mean, watch
Ned?
It? I loved it.
Yeah. What do you mean, watch it? I lived it.
What about that studio in Malibu where they shot this thing, Ned?
Yeah, you ever been there?
Not doing that.
Just flips the table.
Not doing that.
I like how Ned said his favorite moon landing. Like there's been a multitude of them over the years, right? Which moon landing? The one in the 70s?
All of them. Big fan of all of them.
Got a real Sam and Diane thing going on here with him and Cody, don't we?
Well, it's funny because people of Ned's generation of age, like, there is no doubt in their mind that we landed on the moon. For other generations, like our generation, there's a lot of people that walk around and go, I don't know about that.
I think it's twofold. Number one, you didn't see it. Like, you didn't see it live.
Right.
And number two, it doesn't have any real cultural significance to you or I. Like, we look at it and we're like, oh, neat. Right?
Right. It's true. Yeah.
Like, for example, we were down in Springfield just this past weekend, right?
Oh,
we were checking out Bass Pro, right? Yeah. My kid.
Did you get a lure or something?
We didn't. We walked by a
stuffed lion, right?
Well, we weren't there just for the Bass Pro. We were fantastic caverning. Either way, he walks past like a stuffed lion. I'm like, look, man, there's a giant lion up there. He's like, oh, cool. Like, it has no significance to him. He's just used to seeing stuff like that. I couldn't imagine 100 years ago somebody be like, oh, cool, a lion.
Yeah.
Like, so I think that's where we're at with the moon landing. Like, we're just so desensitized to things like that because of where we're at technologically and where we're at in our just in our society that doesn't have the same significance. Just like when it happened in 69, there was it had a lot of cultural significance.
If you talk to people, it was you beating
Russia to do something.
Right, right. And that's, I think, more of what it was than anything, Ryan. We kicked Russia's ass, allegedly. What we did, though, our parents... Like, that's a big moment for them. Like, if you talk to your parents, Josh, and my parents, and Ryan, you talk to your parents about the moon landing was, like, huge. They all sat around.
Where were you moment?
Right. But for me, the moon landing, and this story is really bizarre. One summer, we went to Disney World as a family, right? And we went to the Hollywood Studios. And at Disneyland...
Your mom splurged on Disney?
Yeah.
Wow.
It's a very unfortunate.
They got free tickets from somebody or what?
She probably did. I don't know. Or my grandmother lived down there, so they claimed Florida residency at the time. You know, one of those type of deals. So
they dressed you and your sister up in like a trench coat, so you got only one of you.
One person, yeah, walking through. That's exactly what it was. Yeah. So we went to Disney World, right? And we went to the Hollywood Studios part of Disney World or whatever it is there, right? You know, the Disney. And at that exhibit, at that park, there was an exhibit where you from the crowd were called down and you were able to act out like scenes in movies and shows and things like that. Well, they had one episode. My dad got to do it. And I'm very jealous. He was in The Golden Girls. I got to be in some baseball thing where I was a member of the Mets and I just hit a big home run. And then another guy played, and I'm not kidding, this was at Disney World. Played the cue card holder on the moon for Neil Armstrong when he landed, and he held the cue cards that said, one small step for man, one giant leap for mankind. And I can never get that out of my mind that at Disney World, they were mocking the moon landing then,
right.
And they had people playing in a movie, a guy holding the cue cards on the moon, allegedly, for Neil Armstrong at that time. And that, to me... That will always be my moon landing impression was the cue card holder guy at Disney World for Neil Armstrong. And so Disney was calling the moon landing out back then. Mm. So there are a lot of people who do not believe that the moon landing happened. But I think if you are 55 and above, you're right. That is the where were you moment. And you are never, ever, 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 ever going to have a shadow of a doubt about the moon landing because you lived that thing. You watched that on TV.
Ned and Buzz Aldrin will fight you. You don't want that.
But Ned could have been making all of that stuff up that he just said to Cody, too, which is great. Because he was so convincing.
I'm pretty sure all of that was true.
I've set a 1202 alarm as well when I needed like a nap.
Yeah, you need a nap. I've got the 1202.
I don't know if that's a real thing or not.
Buzz Aldrin, 89 years young.
Who would win a fight, Buzz Aldrin versus Ned?
Probably Ned.
I don't think they'd fight.
I don't know.
They'd talk it out.
I don't think Ned could swing on Buzz. He has too much respect.
Too much respect for him, yeah.
Because he saw it. He saw the 1202 alarm.
That 1202 alarm went off, and everybody knew what it was, and they let it go.
They just snoozed it, is what they did.
Ned on the moon with Cody, only right here on 610 Sports Radio.
We landed on the moon, by the way.
Of course, yes.
Pretty cool deal. There's a hockey player for the Toronto Maple Leafs, William Nylander. He's going to change his uniform. He's making the switch. He's going from number 29 to number 88. Okay? But get this, Bob.
Yeah.
The 23-year-old's added he's going to cover the cost for fans to get their jerseys recrested with the new digits at the Leafs official team store.
That's pretty cool.
I'm changing my number. For those of you that have my jersey, I'm going to pay to get you a new one.
Mm-hmm.
You got 29, you can trade it in, you're going to get an 88.
Right.
That's the way to do it.
That's the way you do it, yeah.
Right?
And I think if every athlete did that, wouldn't it be cool if they had like a numbers draft every year and that was something like, I could see the NFL televising or each team televising their numbers draft of who gets to pick what, and like you do it after the draft or something like that, or maybe you do it, you know, the day before training camp where everybody kind of gets around and everybody starts drafting their new numbers that they're going to wear that year. That would be kind of cool. I think Hate people it. Would like that.
Hate it.
Why?
I mean, there's iconic numbers. There's people yeah, whose number you identify with. You completely throw that out the window.
You're
right.
Right? Yeah, you're right.
I mean, like, you know, 18.
Who?
12. 88. Like, there's all sorts of numbers that are iconic that you just become used to.
It would be kind of fun, though.
It would be fun, though, right?
There'd be no more retired numbers either.
You figure out a way to rank everybody,
right?
Whether it's the Madden rankings or
You get to draft PFF, by your
man. Yeah, right. And you have to earn it.
You have to earn your number.
You have to earn your number. So yeah. you that's your draft order. And then you pick based on your draft order.
Right.
Might be kind of fun.
It would be kind of fun. No more trading watches for numbers and things like that. I think it'd be kind of neat.
And
exciting.
And would the NFL tell us? Yes, yeah, they would.
Of course they would.
And would we tune in?
Yes.
You'd have Mel Kiper breaking it down for like 3 weeks before.
Todd.
Number
speculation
mock draft.
Is. 3.75. Mahomes may not go with the 15.
Mahomes
here.
Is the first pick. He may not take 15. People say he likes 12.
He may switch out of the 15.
This is
we'll
a
see.
Terrible idea.
Oh, I think it's great.
We have to go to jerseys with like Velcro number
yeah,
plates
right?
on the back.
Yeah, did you get it traded out?
This is terrible.
That's what duct tape is for, Ryan.
This is a terrible idea.
Mia Hamm talked about how she duct taped a jersey once.
To keep it together?
Because somebody gave her a jersey, and I forget the soccer player's name. And they put that gal's number on the jersey and put Ham above it. She goes, I don't want my name on it. I want her name above it. So she duct taped her name over her name and wrote the other player's name on it, which I thought was kind
of
cool.
One of the great uses of duct tape.
It is.
But I do like the I'm changing numbers. I'm gonna buy everybody the jersey.
Yeah, that's a cool.
That
move.
Is really cool.
Yeah, because people get mad. I mean, a jersey is an investment. Yeah. It's expensive. It's not cheap to buy a jersey. And so when you have somebody who changes numbers and he's like your favorite player, you're like, oh, son of a gun, you changed numbers. You yeah, but hold on. I'm paying for you guys to get the new jerseys and get the numbers straightened out, and I'm going to take care of everything. Oh, okay, cool.
Gil Brand of NFL.com, who is Fesco's doppelganger when he did the face app thing.
Yeah, if you haven't seen somebody else, my buddy texted me, goes, you look like Bob Barker. Don't forget to have your pet spayed and neutered.
Maybe a little bit of that, too.
So you can check him out at, where is it at? At 610 Sports KC on Twitter, Ryan, is where you put that up?
That is correct.
That's correct. You can see we joined in. We face apped. And
you really do look like Gil Brand.
Yeah.
Or Bob Barker. Which one?
I think Gil Brand.
I think it's more Gil Brand.
I think it's Gil Brand. Gil Brandt now.
Either way, you have Werther's in your pocket.
Who's still?
I get Werther's every time I get my haircut. Sometimes they try to pass off the Costco version of the Werther's.
Have you had the caramel apple Werther's?
Why would you go away from the original one? It's Werther's original.
Because
done.
Caramel apple's also delicious.
It's not the original. Though.
It's not the original. I like the show where they show the girl in Sweden getting the Werther's and takes her back to her childhood. Werther's has the ability to do that. Candy apple one's taking you back to last week.
I think I aged very well, by the way.
Because of all the collagen.
You look the same, just with a gray beard.
I do.
Exactly the same.
It's a good look.
Yeah. Your skin's very nice, though. No lines, no wrinkles.
I know. It's almost like Bob's perfect skin.
I look like my dad in another, like, 15 years.
Our guy, the Amish Outlaw, did the whole Chiefs team, and Andy Reid looks like like Brimley.
Check that out, Facebook.com/610sports.
I think it looks just like Andy Reid.
I think it looks like Brimley.
Yeah. That too. So anyway, Gil, yes. Finding homes for the top remaining free agents at NFL.com. He has Michael Crabtree to the Chiefs.
Huh? God, I don't want another aging. What, we had that guy last year, Antonio Benjamin, or what was
Elvin
it?
Benjamin.
Elvin Benjamin.
Yeah.
He sucked.
That's funny because there was a picture to go along with this story, and it had a Chief on there. I'm like, I don't know who the heck that is. I'm like looking at the thing, I'm like, I don't know. And I read further and it said Kelvin Benjamin's name a little bit later in the article. I'm like, that's who that was.
Well, they found a picture of him in a Chiefs
jersey.
Yeah,
amazing.
Huh?
So Michael Crabtree to the Chiefs. He was 60 catches, 620 yards. 32-year-olds in a physical decline, or maybe a drop-off in offenses or whatever, played with the Ravens, what have you.
Are they saying this because they think Hill's going to be suspended forever?
That it would be logical for the Chiefs to take a flyer on Crabtree, especially with Tyreek Hill's availability still in the air.
He's going to miss like two games.
I wouldn't have a problem with a flyer-type wide receiver, though.
Do they need another one?
Maybe.
I mean, I'm to the point now even that if Tyreek Hill misses no games, that I wouldn't mind taking a flyer on someone.
Why, though? Explain to me why you guys think they need to do that.
Well, think about the drop-off after Sammy Watkins.
You got Garrett Dieter.
To Garrett Dieter, DeMarcus Robinson, which I think will be good this year.
I think he's going to be good.
There's nothing proven there.
McCole Hardman?
McCole Hardman's also.
I think they're probably going to give him a full shot, but
I think we all give Pat Mahomes the benefit of the doubt, right?
No question. Yeah.
And I just would like an extra tool in the toolbox.
I just don't think with 32, you know how I feel about guys over 30.
But you're riding a razor thin margin for error when it comes to injury at wide receiver as well. I mean, if Sammy Watkins, when he gets injured, not if it just feels like a win, right? Like when Sammy Watkins gets injured this year, who steps up?
So imagine if he gets injured early and Tyreek Hill has some sort of suspension.
And you have an awful lot of youth on this team too. It wouldn't be the worst idea in the world to go out and get somebody who actually knows, has been around in the league and knows how to be a pro.
It's also July, and this guy is inside, or any of these guys
are
inside.
Right. These are over street 30,
and it's July.
These are flyers. These are flyers. Not necessarily meant to be impacted.
No, I understand. I don't think
he has Kelvin Benjamin going to the Giants, and like I said, I totally forgot that he played for the Chiefs. Corey Legit, I've always liked him. Defensive tackle. He has him going back to the Chargers, but he was a cap casualty and could end up doing that. And get this one. I'm not totally surprised, except for I don't think he's going to play. Eric Berry to the take a guess.
Tell us.
Cleveland Browns.
6-10.
There you go. He says the big question is whether the 3-time All-Pro and 5-time Pro Bowler will be able to stay healthy for an entire season. Instead, he should have comma or wants to play. But a John Dorsey reunion with Eric Berry in Cleveland.
That
would finish off your 6-10. You'd probably say 5-11 at that point, wouldn't you?
He's not going to play. Yeah. He'll be there. He'll show up and be there on a Monday. Odds of him playing on a Sunday, slim.
And another guy who's still on sign that I am totally surprised about is Alan Bailey.
You're not the only one. I've talked to some people in the NFL. They're like, I can't believe that guy's in sign.
He had a good year. I thought he was poised to make like his one final contract, was going to get some money and go somewhere for like a 3-year deal.
Yeah.
And he's unsigned. Gil has him going to the Patriots.
He went and met with the Patriots right away in free agency.
Yeah.
I'm really surprised he hasn't signed yet. But again, maybe there's something we don't know. Who knows?
New England, he says, has a history of signing versatile defensive linemen on the cheap, and the 30-year-old Bailey fits the profile. He was a guy that I thought priced himself out of Kansas City. Like, he's going to be 30. You're not going to give him a long-term deal, but someone's going to get a nice player for a few seasons. And I thought he would be able to cash in. Somebody would. He'd have a lot of demand. He'd be able to kind of push his number up.
I'm stunned.
I thought he was pricing himself out of Kansas City, not that he was going to be unemployed.
Right. I talked to somebody in the NFL about Alan Bailey a couple of weeks ago. I'm like, are you surprised he's not signed? He goes, yeah, I'm really surprised he's not signed. And I'm like, well, what's wrong with him? I'm like, nothing. I don't know. It's bizarre. Maybe Alan Bailey doesn't want to play anymore, too. You never factor that in where Alan Bailey's going, I'm good to go. I don't want to go out there anymore and play. So, but I don't know that to be the case. But you have to wonder why a guy who was very productive and is still fairly young enough has not signed anywhere. And that guy's a good football player.
Yeah. And, shocker, he's a coach killer. And he's a coach killer again. LeBron James. Space Jam 2 is getting a new director.
Not surprised at this one. Nobody wants to work with LeBron.
There you go. Terrence Nance, the director of Space Jam 2, is exiting the project. And will be replaced by veteran comedy director Malcolm D. Lee, according to Deadline.
Oh, he's good.
Per the report, Nance's departure was described as amicable. But the crux of the split being the director and the studio producers having different creative visions for the project.
Didn't like the work of LeBron.
LeBron got another coach fired.
Yep. Always does.
And now he's going to bring in his guy, Malcolm D. Lee.
Conclusions here.
It's the same thing that's happened throughout his
career. Well, yeah. I mean, you have to think this is LeBron getting another guy fired. Absolutely, yes. Ryan. He's done it before. You can't sit there and go, let's not jump to conclusions. This has been the MO.
You think LeBron James has the clout to get the director of the movie fired?
Yes. Isn't he funding it? Like, it's all his.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm. Yes.
Yes. He's funding the movie.
Going to bring in Ty Lue next?
He probably.
No, Malcolm D. Lee. The Ty Lue of
movies.
Comedic directing. He got the...
He did direct Undercover Brother, which is...
Blatt, very, was that his name?
David Blatt got fired.
Yeah, he got David Blatt fired, and he's brought in Tyronn Lue.
And he got Luke Walton fired,
he directed Night School.
Whoever's coaching the Lakers now. Mike Brown, is he coaching the Lakers now?
Frank Vogel?
Oh, no, so who's really coaching the Lakers?
He also directed Scary Movie 5.
Malcolm D. Lee did?
That's right.
Oh, okay.
The best of all the scary movies.
Well, I'm not saying he's... A terrible coach, a terrible director, but it's clear that he got another coach fired. So LeBron at the LeBron game once again. This half hour brought to you by Santa Fe Auto Sound, Kansas City's home for car audio since 1967. Is it time to hit refresh? We'll discuss next.
Fesco in the morning.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.